Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half-price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Vendors, don't be a jerk. Music, there's the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around, make a sound, hunker down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, Toddies, welcome to a Friday episode of Dumb People Town. Population you.
Population done.
Dan done, we done did it. How are you, buddy?
What's going on, fellas?
Oh, my God.
Thanks for driving us.
I feel like of all the people in this world, you are so uniquely designed and engineered for this specific podcast where we look at stupid behavior because a lot of it starts with a bottle of something. Am
Get
I right?
Out of here.
No, we're not asking you to blaspheme the very thing that is your power source, but we are saying that some people, when they drink irresponsibly, they do dumb things. I know. How do you walk the tightrope of doing the right thing and knowing when enough is enough? That's my question to you because I like drinking occasionally, and I do like. There are certain times when I really like drinking. But I don't know if I have the power to know that, like, okay, this is over the line or not. Like, I don't trust myself.
Well, I would say this. If you know that you're crossing the line, then you clearly haven't had enough to drink.
Oh, okay.
Right. Isn't that kind of how
it works? That's like saying I'm crazy. You're not crazy if you're saying you're crazy. Okay.
Yeah, like Randy, you've never found yourself throwing wrenches at somebody at a children's playground.
Right.
You aren't.
That would be me not. But I'd be thinking to myself, I'm in the right. I'm throwing wrenches at people and they're the assholes.
Right.
You know, and the age has something to do with it too because, you know, when we're in our 20s and we're drinking, what's considered dumb or asshole-ish behavior is a lot different than when you're in your 40s, for instance.
Yeah.
So, not that I've learned from that. I keep repeating the same behaviors over and over again, but I just feel worse about them now. When I was younger, it was like, who cares?
Well, so we like to, let me ask you this. Do you think the world has gotten dumber in recent times? Are we
are we more brazen with our stupidity?
Are we cascading off a cliff of dumb into a dumb oblivion? What's happening now?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, look at the last 4 or 5 years, you know, I mean, if there's any bright spot for the pandemic I'm glad we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, that light is a bar for me.
And,
but if there's any good thing that came about because of it is the shame was drained from my body of just being able to drink every day because it was okay to do it. And I needed to after, you know, not to get political, but after 4 years of what we went through, it was kind of refreshing to be drunk for the final year of it and be okay and be alone in my house. And
But can I just, but don't you miss I miss a good bar. I mean, having lived in New York City for 5 years, I miss that really good, especially when
a room full of strangers and a couple people you like.
Yeah. It's that beautiful warmth, right?
Yep.
So I went to I live in Venice Beach and, so, you know, we've got the outdoor dining going on and a few weeks ago when they resumed outdoor dining, we went to this place called Nueva, which has a really cool outdoor space. Okay. Yeah. But how they do it, and you guys know, is you got to stay in your little bubble at your table. And so I was with a couple of my guy friends and there was a table of three women next to us, just right next to us.
Yeah.
And at some point in the evening, we just got bold and brazen, and we turned our chairs toward each other. I didn't move over to their table, but we were looking at each other, we were engaging, and we were speaking. And all I kept thinking to myself is, holy fuck, I can curse, right? I was like, Jesus Christ, do I miss this? And I wasn't even sidled up next to them at the bar, just having a conversation. They were a few feet away, but we were still engaging with people we didn't know. And it felt so foreign. And yet it was, I'm kind of welling up thinking about it. That's how great it was.
There are moments where I think about Bar Bandini, which is over by me, and then out by you, the other room. Was it the other room? The other room.
The room on Abbot Kinney. Yeah.
I love that place because it's born out of two bars in New York, and it's just there's something about the place that is warm and inviting. Although it can be the beginning of a dumb story. And so we get dumb stories sent to us by our fans.
We do.
And we like to break them down. So if you'll let us indulge you, let us break down a story, all of us together. Does that sound like a good idea?
Let's do it.
I welcome the dumb.
All right, let's bring it.
We always do.
Okay.
This was sent in, as Randy said, by our fans. All of them are. Guys, I love when you guys send me these stories. You can do so by going to @DanielVanKirk on Twitter and then just hashtagging dumbpeopletown in your tweet. This was sent in by Liz Haggerty, @LizHaggerty. She's been around for a long time.
I want to call her Gentleman Liz Haggerty.
She is a dumb reporter for us.
She really is. She's like a stringer for us. She's embedded in the dumb.
Uh-huh. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Angered that her roommate was playing the chic classic La Freak.
Oh.
Over and over again, very loudly.
Mm-hmm. I love that that's still a thing, guys. It's still a thing. Mm-hmm. Freak out.
A Florida woman allegedly battered the disco devotee during a 12:15 a.m. confrontation in the duo's apartment. So we're just after midnight. One person wants to keep hearing La Freak over and over again, and the other person said, no.
I got to put an end to this.
The devil, you know?
Right. First of all,
not a Nile Rodgers fan. Clearly. And by the way, he got in the Hall of Fame for that. In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Really?
Warren Zevon,
not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Nile Rodgers.
Peter Frampton, not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay, can I drop something for you here,
sure.
Daniel? And I'll just drop a little name. So I used to live in Colorado, in Aspen, and I worked for Hunter S. Thompson, the writer.
Wow. Yes. Okay. Talk about.
And Hunter was very good friends with Warren Zevon.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I do not purport to know Warren well, but I met him several times through Hunter. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you, from what I know of him, he would not at all be disappointed that he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall.
It just doesn't seem
like a thing that he would endorse or care about.
Right. Sure.
He'd rather be kept in your heart for a while, not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He probably would rather people be angry that he's not in the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
He's happy to be an outsider.
Yes. Bitching about him.
But, yeah. So here's my question, though. If you are about to start some shit with your roommate, you have to live with that person.
Right.
Like, you know what you're getting into. This isn't fighting at a bar.
This is like when somebody fights with you over a parking spot.
Yep.
I've said this to people before. When
you're
they've like
going
been a
in
real
the same
dick,
place.
What a real dick about it. I go, okay, fine. Just know, I know where your car is parked.
Right.
So however you want to treat me, whatever you want to say or do, I'm just telling you, I'm going to leave here. You don't know where I'm going, but I know where your car is parked.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. These people know where their bedrooms are.
Right.
I know where your bedroom is.
First off, it sounds like there must have been, if you're playing Freak Out over and over at 12:15, I'm going to guess there might have been other substances involved that are making you do that. And secondly, what I would have done if I were the roommate that she came out, got in my face, but I said, I'm sorry, you're right. It's bad. Turn it off. When she goes back in the room, I would put on Leo Sayers, You Make Me Feel Like Dancing, which I think we can all agree is the inferior song in that era, and just play that even louder.
I mean, all right, bring it. By the way, Leo Sayer was about 4'11". With the fro,
with the
maybe
fro.
5'6". Yes. And he was wearing like what could only be described as a leotard in
you
the commercial.
You got a new way of talking.
That was his real voice.
I know it was.
I'm going to look so up he's always, So he had, by the way, when I went down a deep Leo Sayer.
How
like,
deep
stop,
is it?
He had like seven.
I was going to say, how deep's that hole? That
by
inch?
The way, yeah. Jay, go through Leo Sayer's hits. He had about 7 to 10.
Wait, Daniel, can you name another? I can't. Can you name another Leo Sayer?
There is one. I just heard it recently on 70s on 7, and I was like, I do know this song.
Jay,
I was surprised.
This more than I can say. More than I can say.
Yes.
How does that go?
Yeah.
When I need you.
Oh,
I just
close my eyes.
Yeah. So when I need you, that's a different song. And then he had You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. He had Long Tall Glasses.
Don't know that one.
One Man Band.
Should have gotten out at
Orchard
When I Need
Road,
You.
Orchard Road. I Can't Stop Loving You. How Much Love. Raining in My Heart.
No, I don't know.
Moonlighting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he recorded a lot of songs, but it, you, a rabbit hole.
Love, giving it all away, heart.
There's a theme to Leo Sayer's, if you will. You're not going to see like, fuck the police in the middle of
right? No,
it's
no,
like,
no.
I love you, I would you're this, you're in my
His
heart.
His theme is like, is it okay if we hold hands?
Dancing the Night Away. Was that, how does that go?
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Know.
Anyway, the point is that like, that is a great call, because then can they get mad at something that's that soft? You know,
right. But I love like, that you're like, if you're going to start shit with your roommate, if you're playing that song over and over, you're the one starting shit.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah. You know what you're doing.
According? It's not
like, by the way, if you listen to anything over and over and over, and I don't care if it's the best thing in the world, over and over and over again, people are going
to
get mad.
According to an arrest affidavit, Marianne Lannon. Oh, look at Leo. Marianne
Lannon. He's like a kid that was, he looks like a kid that's been shot out of a t-shirt cannon.
Yes.
He's like the precursor to, what was the exercise guy? Richard.
Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
Doesn't he kind of have a Richard Simmons vibe going on there?
He does have a little Richard Simmons. It's like a smaller, more effeminate.
Right,
he's Richard Simmons.
There you go.
Yes. Yes.
According to an arrest affidavit, Marianne Lannon, quote, became upset after the victim, who's Lannon's cousin. So not only are they roommates.
Here he is today. Here he is today.
Ooh.
He has
still
not
looking
aged
good.
Well.
He looks like
still
he'd be, look like his new name is Felton John.
Or or he looks like your Aunt Barb.
Yeah,
hey, your Aunt Barb is coming over
She's
here
She's got
tonight.
A great condo in Florida, though.
She's really listening to a lot of NPR. And just, you know, let her talk. I mean, there's definitely a point where he's like, there's not enough paint splotches on this jacket.
I know. The victim is Lannon's cousin. Marianne Lannon became upset.
So they're cousins sharing a place.
Yes.
So not only do you have to share, but you might see this person at a family reunion.
Right. After Lannon's cousin put the 1978 song on repeat, investigators allege that Lannon freaked out. Okay, we don't need to write jokes. We don't need to write jokes into our article.
Okay.
That Lannon freaked out and pushed her kin into a, this is a, Dan, you could not have been a more perfect person to have on this episode of the show. Because when I read what she got pushed into, not only is it so great in a vacuum to just have this fact in the story, the fact that you're here with us and your podcast, What We're Drinking, investigators say she became upset and she pushed her kin into a, quote, makeshift tiki bar in their apartment.
Yep.
Now, I love the game. I applaud the game.
Yeah, if you're making a makeshift tiki bar.
But makeshift tiki bar might be my favorite ska band ever.
Makeshift tiki bar.
I want to hang out with these people, first of all.
Like, makeshift tiki bar.
They didn't want to go all the way with the tiki bar.
Right.
You know, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to think people to think I'm, you know, living an ostentatious life here.
Right.
We'll just go with a makeshift
tiki bar. No, that was another fight that led to this fight.
That was the other fight.
About like, whether or not they were going to have a tiki bar.
Can I shellac the tiki bar?
No,
you can't. You can't. It's going to stink up
I will accept it if it is not permanent.
Do you guys know which band? Do you know which band comes on before Goldfinger and Mustard Plug? Yeah, makeshift tiki bar.
There you go.
Makeshift tiki bar is coming on tonight. I love those guys.
That she pushed her into the makeshift tiki bar, causing the bar to fall apart. Tiki is
again,
always kind of rickety anyway.
Tiki by the way, that was together well. That was an hour's worth of work that she just destroyed in a matter of minutes.
The bar fell apart and the victim, causing the victim to strike her left eye on a speaker.
Oh, God.
Lannon's cousin, cops noted, suffered severe swelling and a bruised left eye, so a black eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lannon, who was arrested at the Tampa Bay area apartment she shares with her cousin, was charged with domestic battery, a misdemeanor, seen above, which we will do later. Lannon was released Tuesday afternoon from the court. A judge ordered Lannon to have no contact with the victim.
How are you going
to
do that? You live with the person.
They live together.
Whom she has lived with. For how long?
Okay.
How long? Before we take a quick little break, we'll come back, find more about What We're Drinking podcast and talk to Dan. I'm going to ask you guys, get in your guesses before we go to the break. How long do you think
these two
Marianne Lannon and her cousin with a makeshift tiki bar and a love of disco music like LaFreak, how long had they been living together? Dan, you are our guest. What is your guess?
Did it say how old they are?
We will do that.
So they could be 60.
Yeah, it's right.
I'm going to say they don't sound like the most successful people.
Right.
I'm making a judgment.
Well, the word makeshift. It wasn't a contract.
Makeshift and roommate.
Yeah,
we're not
talking surgeons. They're probably not, you know, okay, they don't work at the same ward in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I'm going to think they've been living in this codependent situation for 6 years.
Okay. Six years. Jay, what do you think?
It's 10 years.
10 years?
Randy? I'm going to say 24 years.
24 years.
I think they've been living together for a long time.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Before we get to the answer of how long these two crazy freaks have been living together, we got the live Dumb People Town's going to be on April 10th, Nowhere Comedy
Club.
The Honey Dumb, Ryan Sickler, one of our favorite guests of all time, will be there, and the Cactus Blossoms. Get your tickets.
And
we're going to do
it.
We've got a Greenlee. It's the Honey Dumb. It's a mixture of Honeydew and Dumb People Town. It's going to be Dumb Stories, and it's going to be a fantastic. Eventbrite.com. Get your tickets for that. Go to DanielVanKirk.com to check out all the cool stuff that he's doing.
And I can tell you guys, I've already put the Greenlee together, and I will give you, I will tell you this much. Greenlee covers a strip club story.
Oh my God.
But yeah, for everything fun like bingo and hang out and live pen pals and all that stuff, just good vibes and good times, go to DanielVanKirk.com.
And Dan Dunn, you've got a fantastic podcast about, look, we talk drinking. It's about drinking, what we're drinking. Tell the good folks about it and where they can check
it out.
And
also tell us what you're drinking right now.
Yeah, you're drinking right now.
I have a Guinness.
Nice.
Because I got ambitious for St. Patty's Day and I bought like a whole case of Guinness.
It's the leftover. It's the
realizing I'm alone in this world. Uh-huh. And so this is kind of my leftover Guinness. And yeah, I like a good Guinness.
It's a good Guinness is fantastic.
A meal in a bottle.
It is a good afternoon beer.
It's like pancakes in a bottle.
The last trip I took, last time I was on an airplane, it was just over a year ago. I went to Ireland.
Uh-huh. Did you?
And among the many stops that I did over there was to go to the Guinness Brewery. And if anybody's a fan of beer, I highly recommend it.
Really?
That's great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It's fantastic. Ireland's fucking great. Love it. What we're drinking. It's a podcast. It's on the same network as you guys, Starburns.
Yep. Yes.
And... you know, there's a lot. It's a mixture. We've got a ton of celebrities have been on the show. We've had Matthew McConaughey, Pitbull, Christie Brinkley, Steven Soderbergh.
Awesome.
On and on and on and on. We got Snoop Dogg coming up, Nick Jonas, John Varvatos.
That's awesome.
Wow,
so
great.
Well, the beauty of it is all of these people are involved. Like every, what brand do you guys have? Like everybody's got a booze
brand
these days.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's been a boon for us. But then we also do a lot of stuff with, we've got distillers on and I do stuff about trends, and it's mostly humor. We try to be funny and
there's a whole culture.
There's something to be gleaned and learned through the pods. So a little knowledge.
There are certain drinking where it's a culture, you know, like there's the Scotch, there are the Scotch drinkers and the culture that surrounds all of that.
And they're very, very geeky. Mm-hmm. So for instance, the current episode features three women because it is
it's Women's Month. God bless
I celebrate it all year round.
I know
but
you
but,
do.
But I, so there are three women that I have on the current episode from Zacapa Rum, which is a beautiful rum from Guatemala. So that would be one of the, that'd be an example of an episode where we kind of geek out a little bit more.
Yeah.
She talks about that's fascinating to me.
It is like fascinating
the
to
aging
anyone.
Process and where it comes from and to hear it from the people that are doing it themselves. And I mean, Lorena Vasquez, who's the master blender for that brand,
so
36
cool.
years she's been doing that.
Wow. So she knows what she's doing. Yeah, she knows what she's
doing.
Yeah. And it's like you get that good at something and you're doing it for that long.
Yes.
It's, you know, such like so many subtleties that the regular person just can't even understand. Like I'm sure she looks at a batch or has like one little taste of it is like, no, that's not the right. You know, like they're so good with this. They can catch notes of stuff that's in there that like our palates will never understand.
It's really an amazing skill. And I, you know, in the whiskey world as well, I mean, all of the spirits really, but where you watch, and you know, there is definitely a scientific element to it where they're measuring, but some of the best in the business are, you're exactly right. They're able to just nose it and say, oh yeah, no, the pH level is off a little bit on this. And you're like, how do you do
you're
that?
Like, I am in the presence of greatness right now. Yes. It's like watching genius. Michael Phelps swim. Look at Michael
this
Phelps.
Is why celebrities, this is why celebrities fall. I really, truly believe this. You know, I just recently had Bryan Cranston on. He started a mezcal, which is a really good mezcal called Dos Hombres with Aaron Paul.
Nice.
I understand why they fall in love with this side. Steven Soderbergh is Singani 63 is his brand. I think he might be more passionate about that than filmmaking right now because they get to meet these people. There's no bullshit really in that world. You know, the people that are making this day in and day out are artisans. They're craftsmen.
They are.
Women, craftswomen. Craftswomen, yes, it's craft International people. Women's Month. So people,
yeah.
Peeps,
yep.
Craft peeps.
Yeah. No, it's a great idea. It's so true. And, you know, you think about Soderbergh, too. We know people who have worked with him. And, you know, anybody who's like, say that Soderbergh shot anything of theirs, they're like, he's doing things with camera angles. And he's like, just run the scene a couple of times. And you think you're just rehearsing it with the person. And meanwhile, he's got like the camera in a pen up under the desk, shooting from an angle that you can't see. And you're like, oh my God, he just got the most natural performance in a way that... And so I'm sure he sort of geeks out on the exact same thing, the way people treat. Yeah, the details of it all.
Well, the thing he makes Singani is the national spirit of Bolivia, which has been around for 500 years, but up until a few years ago, no one outside of Bolivia had ever tried it. When he made the movie Che, he tried it, fell in love with it, and then this is 10 years ago, and then made it his mission to bring this to the States. And he's just about to get the TTB, which regulates alcohol in the United States, to declare Singani. Right now it's categorized as brandy, but he's going to get it declared its own category. And I mean, it's a lot of fucking work to do that. And to see guys like him, and I think Cranston's really into it, you know, then you get people that just slap their name, like Justin Timberlake slaps his name on it.
Yeah.
Diddy does, but you know Diddy what? It still does. Moves a lot of product.
Diddy does.
I always loved the Casamigos story with Clooney, where him and that guy bought that farm, and then they would just give Casamigos as gifts, like at Christmas. And obviously at that level, you're giving out like 300 gifts a year.
Sure.
And then people told them, like, you have to sell this. You should make it. So they went through that process, like, all right, we'll distribute it. And then all the way up to them selling it for $1 billion.
It was Gerber and another guy. There are three of them.
Yeah.
They invested, all told, of their own money, $250,000. And 4 years later, sold it for $1 billion.
And it's a great, by the way, feel free to educate me.
Good for a guy who just has a break. Finally got a break, and it's just nice to see something go well.
Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know a lot, but I really like that tequila, that Casamigos Blanco. Well, like, I really enjoy that tequila.
I do too. And you know,
you sound mad about it.
No, I do. Here's the thing. I want to, and I do like the Ochos and Clase Azules and some of the smaller brands that come up. I'm really sort of gravitating a lot more now towards Mezcal, just because, and that's going to get over. It is getting over. I'm talking about Brian Cranston right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Mezcal still has that thing where, I don't know if you guys, it's always like, once it gets co-opted by, you know, the masses, then I'm like, oh, well, what's the next cool thing? And Mezcal still has that. There's still a lot of little local mezcals that you can find. Yeah. Not so much in tequila anymore. But that said, the quality of tequila overall as a category has gone up, and Casamigos is a great example of that.
Yeah. And Clooney, a guy who you know, this can help him with the ladies.
I know, it's just such a positive thing. Yeah. All right, let's get back to the story, ready? Shall we?
Because Judge ordered,
guess the age.
Yeah, Judge ordered Lannan. That's Mary Ann Lannan.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Ann Lannan. It's such a Midwest
name. Mary Ann Lannan's here.
Great. To have no contact with the victim, who she lived with, for how long. The guesses were, would you say 6 years?
Six years.
I said 10. I said 24.
Mm-hmm. One of you.
Oh, God.
Is 1 year off.
Oh!
Would any of you, and I would suggest all of you,
change
your number one up or one down?
Yes.
Dan.
Seven.
I say 23. Years. 9.
They have been living together for 5 years.
Oh, you went the wrong way.
Still a winner.
Still, by the way,
why do I
time.
Always go up?
No, you won. You won.
And then, fittingly, I mentioned
such an up person.
Fittingly, I mentioned that we're going to be doing a Greenlee at the next live show, because there's a little bit of Greenlee-esque writing in this. This is the next paragraph. Le Freak, written by Niles Rogers and Bernard Edwards, both of whom were members of Chic, topped the Billboard Hot 100 chart. In 2018, the National Recording Registry of Library of Congress included the single among its, quote, oral treasures worthy of preservation.
Wow.
Described as an infectious, danceable confection, Le Freak has become a, quote, staple of wedding receptions, movie soundtracks, and nightclubs, according to the Library of Congress. We will get out of here on this, and I'm going to even show you the picture first.
By the way, sometimes the picture is misleading.
Yes. How old, you'll be able to see it on the screen, how old is Mary Ann Lannan?
Oh, Mary Ann Lannan.
Mary good. Ann Lannan.
Does she look good?
She looks like she woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
She looks like she's
the wrong side of the dismantled makeshift tiki bar.
She looks like she's been soaking in rum and coconut juice for a little bit. I'm going to go she's got to be younger than she looks. Uh-huh. I'm going to think she's 28.
What?
28.
Okay, Jay, what do you think?
28 Jason? Hard years.
Yeah, yeah.
39.
And 34.
Okay. 34.
Marianne okay. Lannon.
All right. We'll get out of here on this.
Is she on Bumble?
No, no, no. More of a Hinge girl.
Yeah. She's on meth.
I got vaccinated. I'm ready.
Jay said she's on meth.
She looks. If she's on meth, she looks pretty
she
good.
She's great. She's holding it together. She's on meth.
Allegedly. Okay. We'll get out of here on this. Such a fun day in the town. Yeah. We'll close it up after I tell all of you that Marianne Lannon.
Marianne Lannon
is 53 years old.
Oh, she looks great. She looks great.
Get me some tiki drinks, man.
Oh, my stuff's goodness.
She's 53.
She is Le Freak. She is Le Freak. I'm freaking out.
Oh,
she
my God. She is 53.
Oh, my God.
She's 53.
God, she looks good, man. She looks young.
Great.
She looked for 53. She looks fantastic.
I want to be forever
she
young.
She did it. It's makeshift tiki bar.
Wow.
Keep you young.
This is it. The fantastic. I love it. Well, this is awesome. Thank you, guys. And thank you, Dan Dunn. This is just fantastic. Good times, everybody. Oh, shit. We got to get back to work.
Dum, dum, dum.
Stop and Audio, a podcast network.